Hello, all you beautiful people. It is the 50th episode of the Common Geeking Program, and today...
Jeff, you did not prepare me for Hamhorn.
It was supposed to be very calm and sultry, but I guess Jeff had other plans with his... What is that even called?
The blowy squeak toy?
You know, I think it's called a squawker.
Okay.
Or a blowout. I think it's a combination of a squawker and a blowout. The blowout part is the part that, you know, goes out, right. And the squawker part is the part that makes noise.
Because you can get blowouts on their own, but they're lame.
I hope you beautiful people have a great time with your significant others. Or if you don't have one, I hope you have a good time just treating yourself to some nice chocolate. Unless you don't like chocolate, in which case you're just weird. Welcome to the 50th episode of the Common Geeking Program. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to alienate everybody who doesn't like chocolate, but like, come on.
That's like, I didn't mean to alienate everyone who doesn't like chocolate, but I kind of meant to alienate everyone who doesn't like chocolate.
Just give it a shot, all right? If you don't like chocolate, just get some today and maybe you'll like it. Or just buy yourself some flowers, because who doesn't like flowers? Unless you're allergic to flowers. Fuck, I'm just going to stop. Welcome to the Common Geeking Program. It is our Valentine's Day episode. Jeff is hyped. This is a book club podcast where each week we talk about a topic decided by our host, which is me today. Hi, I'm Patrick. Patrick Brem, if that matters.
Hi, Patrick.
Tonight, we are going to be discussing, from our own geeky, nerdy perspectives, the concept of shipping.
Ooh.
I guess we'll get into that later. So, I am joined by two lovely people. They have each selected something in the vein of this topic that they would like to talk about. So, why don't we meet them tonight?
Hi, my name is Jeff. Today, I'm going to be back at it again with Steven Universe.
Ooh, nice. And hi, I'm Laura. And today I will be representing Harry Potter.
Ooh. Hey. So we're going to start out the hour by summarizing this topic that I've chosen. And then our lovely representatives will go into their domains. After that, we're going to go through the rating section and whether or not this was a good episode, according to our lovely reps. All right.
It'll be a rate-a-thon.
The topic I chose was the concept of shipping in, like, TV shows. Shipping comes from the word relationship. Like, you take that little N, four letters there, boom, shipping. So, the way that shipping works is people in fandoms, I guess, which is just the collective group of fans for a specific type of media, would get emotionally invested in two or more characters ending up, like, in love with each other or creating a close bond. So, for example, you had people in the Pokemon fandom, which wanted Jesse and James of Team Rocket to get together. There were a lot of people who wanted, in Merlin, they wanted the two main dudes in that show to end up together. So, if you want a good overview of what shipping is, there is a website called tvtropes.org, and they have a nice article about shipping and some examples. So, it's essentially like, if you've ever watched a show and there are two people you really want to end up together, even if it's not really a canon thing, which means it's part of the actual story, even if it's a fantasy that you wish would happen, you are shipping them. So you might think that shipping is kind of this innocent thing that a lot of people can just do, like, on their own, but there's this entire culture online that likes to write fanfic about it and just, like, get together and circle jerk about it, coming up with, like, reasons why the actual people in the show should, like, the people writing the show should change it so that it's an actual thing. There's another article about, from, wow, fan/fic.com. Don't know why that's a fucking thing, but it's Fanfic Magazine is the actual, like, company. They just have a terrible URL.
Pretty sure that's not, like, a slash, like a slash.
Yeah, I was going to specify. It's literally the word fic. Slash.
No, like, but
spelled out.
Fan/fic, because slash fic is a specific kind of shipping.
Like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, it's like, it talks about in one of the articles, slash fic is when there are two characters that, like, people make fan fiction about two characters in a show who are, like, two male, or I guess they could be female, heterosexual characters, and it, slash fic is, like, making a homosexual fanfic about them.
Yeah, so that was where, like, the Merlin thing comes in, where they want, right, Merlin and Arthur, the two actors in the show, to actually, like, fall in love, which apparently the well, I guess I'll get to that. So
that was a strange example to pick for the article, because, like, who the fuck actually has watched Merlin?
I think they picked it because as like it was an example of the fan shipping going into the
but
actual
I just
show.
Think like a so, bigger yeah, a bigger example that. Of that is like Supernatural
probably yeah but like I don't think
oh you're saying they chose it as an example of like something that was actually suggested in the canon
yeah that's oh, what yeah. I'm trying to get at so
in Supernatural everyone wants Dean and Castiel to get together that angel
yeah
yeah it goes all over
so
the
issue that a lot of people have is the fact that the fans can get really out of control with it. So if you go on Tumblr or anything and you check the fanfic / shipping like tags, you'll find some pretty extreme fan fiction, sometimes pretty erotic. If yeah. that's your thing, go for it. But sometimes it can make people pretty uncomfortable to be associated with the fandoms of these shows where people are doing this. So, for example, a lot of people get kind of weirded out at the fact that in Merlin and Arthur, who are both heterosexual characters have these weird like kind of homoerotic situations, which is totally fine if the writers wanted them to make it that way, but it seemed like they were pandering to the shipping audience because they never actually ended up being confirmed as like in a romantic relationship, but they were like half naked wrestling and doing all this weird stuff that is seen as
so it's just kind of fan service in a sort of way.
Yeah, so they think that shipping can cause that kind of thing to run rampant. Like, obviously the show writers want to appease the audience to keep them invested, but to the point where they're like changing the story around to fit it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Well, I mean, one of the other things that the article talked about, right, was if you went on fan forums, if the shippers were like a big enough part of the community, then every 3 in 4 posts about a particular fandom would be about shipping, and it would just kind of like spam up the forum about it instead of actually being
discussion about the actual meeting.
Yeah. The example the article gives is South Park. They would ask that if you tagged your post with anything, don't tag it with the actual South Park tag so that that can be reserved for like actual show canon and discussion and like that, and keep your fiction to like a fiction tag. I guess I can understand why people get annoyed by that, but at the same time, like, somebody shipping something doesn't really affect you. I don't really understand, like, the huge backlash. I can understand if it starts to creep into the show and it's not what the writers had originally intended, then maybe you could get a little annoyed. But even then, if the writer thinks it's a good enough thing and they're not just pandering, like, if it's an actually good storyline, you should be cool with it.
Or if someone just called it.
Yeah, right. Like, that's the other thing, is how do you know that the director wasn't already, or the writer wasn't already planning to go that way? Unless the writer actually came out and said, yeah, I was just reading some fanfic and thought, hey, that'd be pretty good. which I guess could happen.
Very little of the time.
But it could happen, so I understand that. Like, another example is Frodo and Sam from Lord of the Rings. Like, very just brotherly love relationship. They're trying to save the world together, and there's a huge following of people who think Frodo and Sam should fall in love. But, like,
it'll be spring soon. The orchards will be in blossom, and the birds will be nesting in the hazel thicket.
Well, I mean, I can see...
You can't change the story at this point. It's already written.
Yeah.
Come on, Mr. Frodo. I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you.
I can see shipping, like, being frustrated even if it doesn't affect the thing, but...
But the big overall picture to why I think people ship fictional characters, which gets talked about in another article from studybreaks.com, which is actually just called Why Do We Ship Fictional Characters? It just gives you another level of getting involved into a show, because you feel like you're being invested into this group, like you're learning things about them. They almost feel like friends to you because you know so much about them, because that's what the writer wants to do. They want to get you immersed.
Right.
So you're like, you're sitting there trying to live vicariously through them as if they were your friend group in real life. So you kind of project your own feelings onto the show.
And that article, like, also talked about how shipping was kind of a natural thing, because, like, it's human nature to be empathetic to these sorts of situations, and that
unless you're a fucking sociopath,
right? And like that's the whole reason that we want to, you know, get invested with these characters in the first place, is that we want to be able to empathize with them in some way or another. Right. And that's largely where a lot of the shipping comes into. So it's just like an extension off of that, is what this article was claiming.
And additionally, like, we ship in real life too. Like, we see our friends.
Say celebrity couples.
Oh, that too.
Like, friends and stuff.
Yeah. So celebrity couples, where I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe Brad and Angelina broke up. Like,
true though.
I know. Usually I think that stuff is really stupid.
There are a couple that get me.
Yeah.
But I do confess that I was like, No, when I heard about Chris Pratt and fucking
Anna Faris,
I saw that at dinner. I was just like, what? No. And then I thought about it for a second. I was like, I don't know either of these people. Why does that upset me?
Fucking Jennifer Lawrence being a bitch ass motherfucker, breaking him up.
They just
fuck you. We're so Jennifer Lawrence.
I was sad about that one.
Yeah, it was very sad. Anna Faris is hilarious, and so was Chris Pratt in like his older shit, but now he's not as funny and stupid.
I like Chris Pratt now.
I like him, but Parks all of the Chris stuff Pratt he's in, yes, fantastic. My favorite. Yeah, but now he's just in Jurassic product placement and fucking like bullshit, super emotionally charged films, and I'm just like, I just want funny Chris Pratt again.
I mean, he's also in Guardians of the Galaxy. I'd say that's a pretty funny role.
That's true.
For Chris Pratt.
That's true.
Yeah.
But that's like, it's different.
It's just because he's kind of erupting.
I want Andy making a fucking vagina out of his ice cream.
Anyway.
All right. Back to other shit. Is like, you ship your friends all the time, and you just, like, I guess, didn't know you were shipping them. You definitely have a friend who's in a relationship that, like, if they ever broke up with that person, you'd be heartbroken because you thought they were perfect for each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's not quite the same. Like, being in support of a relationship and shipping two people who are not yet together is not exactly the same thing, though, I would say.
Yeah, but you can ship people who are together, like, already.
Yeah, I mean, if that definition extends to that, then yeah, I definitely agree with you. But I was thinking the shipping was just...
But there are also times where your friends aren't together and you think they should get together. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I think I've had less of those situations than I've had.
Definitely fewer. Correct.
Yeah, fewer, sorry.
But that's, I wasn't trying to like...
No. I know, but...
definitely fewer, you're a jerk.
I was not taking that as a correction, but it did inadvertently correct me, and you were right to do so.
Yeah, but like... It definitely happens fewer times because reality is inherently more boring than the things we watch on TV. Otherwise, we wouldn't watch them.
That's fair.
We just go out and live our lives.
And we get, like, less following of particular people in real life.
Yeah. I know more fake people than real people, by far.
Is that a jab at the people you know, or a
hell yeah, it is.
On...
fucking fake ass U of A bitches.
I know get one real person. Everyone else is a fake fucking bitch. Figure out who it is.
Nah, they're not bitches.
They're just fake.
No, they're not fake either. I don't know. I'm trying to be less close-minded this year. People are just people. Actually, if I like read it, I'm pretty sure I wrote specifically on my list, stop being such a judgmental twat.
I could use that advice as well.
Yeah. I wrote an entire like bucket list that I'm trying to knock out by the time I'm 30. Now that we got through what shipping is on its own, I would like to hear from our lovely... I keep calling you fucking lovely. Jesus Christ. I've been watching too much British shit.
We're lovely people. It's cool.
Yeah, but there's this one... I don't know if you guys watch the Great British Baking Show.
I fucking love the Great British Baking Show.
What's her name? The young girl, Martha?
Yeah.
Can we get out of the slumber?
Yeah, this is the domains now, but like, give me 5 seconds. Give me 30 seconds to get through this story, okay?
You're halfway through a sentence. That can't be the end of the...
Shut up! So Martha has this new show on like one of the Tasty Kitchen things, and every single time she describes an ingredient, she calls it lovely. And I'm like, bitch, get some more adjectives. That's all I wanted to say. So like, I'm in the same vein. I keep watching too much British shit because they keep saying lovely. So now that we've gotten through what shipping is, I would like to hear from our representatives. So let's start with Jeff. What have you brought to the table, young Jeffy?
Okay, my boys, with an I. So as to be inclusive of Laura, I'm going to be talking about Steven Universe again. It's a great show.
It is fantastic.
Very brief summary of what the show is. It's a cartoon on Cartoon Network, and it's about this boy named Steven. He's like half magic alien.
Gem rock.
Yeah, half magic alien rock. And then a lot of the other characters of the show are this species of aliens called Gems, of which Steven's mother was one and his father was a human, so that's how he's half. Basically, they just have like a super oppressive homeworld, and it's against that they're the antagonists, and then like our main people are the rebels, etc., etc. That doesn't matter for today, though. I think that it's the fandom that I'm most involved with that I see a bunch of like strange shipping and fan theories, and there's a bunch of different ones that I could go into, but I think I'm probably going to spend most of my time explaining this one bizarre example of shipping in Steven Universe, which is pretty popular among the fandom. Well, I mean, it's not popular with air quotes. It's like one of the more notorious.
Discussed. Yeah. Oh, okay.
There's this character named Jamie, right? He is Steven's mailman. He is a very minor character. He shows up in like 4 episodes or something like that so far. He is also an actor. That's his like defining character trait, is that he's a mailman and he wants to be a play actor. He's like, I would say probably early 20s or something like that. And there's this other character whose name is Kevin, who's showed up 3 times in the series.
It's Kevin time.
Yeah, Jamie and Kevin have nothing to do with each other. Kevin is like, there's this episode where Steven and his girlfriend Connie fuse into like a bigger person, which is something that the gems can do, yada yada, etc. Mm-hmm. etc. Gem stuff. So they become like this older teenager. Normally they're like 12 and 14, and so they become Stevani, and Stevani is going around as like just experiencing the world as herself because she's like a different person than Steven and Connie. And mm-hmm. she goes to this party and she runs into this dude named Kevin, and this dude Kevin is like a real fucking creep. He's just like,
hey baby,
fucking looking her up and down and like wanting to dance with her. That whole episode is about like consent and shit like that, and Kevin is just like kind of the catalyst to show like, hey, creepy people exist, right? And and Kevin showed up a couple of times later to just be like a jerk. Basically he's like one of the few characters in the show that's just like really a jerk. I can't remember why. I was googling one of the two of them, I don't even know, Jamie or Kevin. And I went onto Google Images and I found like a bunch of images of Jamie and Kevin like shipped together. They're both heterosexual characters. Like there's an episode with Jamie where he was like in love with Garnet, who is gender as a girl.
Feminine.
Yeah.
It's a feminine character.
Yeah. And fucking like the introduction of Kevin was him being creepy to Stevani, who I guess also is technically they them pronoun, but she's a lot more feminine than masculine, which is not a big deal. Like either of these characters could conceivably be gay, but it's just like weird that these characters have literally never interacted at all in the show
and they blow it out of proportion.
And it was like, I looked it up before this episode, and apparently this all started because there was like a Steven Universe comic strip, and there was like an establishing shot of like a corn maze or something, and there's a character who looks like Jamie and a character who looks like Kevin standing next to each other, and that got like blown all out of proportion, and now what it is called is Kev-Amy, and I think it's bizarre, and that I don't know, that was like the weirdest example of shipping that I could think of, so that's what I'm talking about today.
I thought that was very good though. Like, I did not know anything about those two characters. I do like that show. I just haven't gotten around to like watching it all the way through
yet. I think I had you watch the episode with Kevin in it.
You did. Yeah. I watched that one, and I watched like a whole bunch other, but I just didn't watch all of them yet. Mm. But I will, because I love that show. It's fantastic. Thank you very much, Jeff. Anyway, let's move on to our dear friend, good buddy, Laura, to talk about Harry Potter.
Yeah, I'm going to spend the first bit of my domain just talking about my relationship with shipping, as it were, which is that I don't have one. Like, this is a new term to me. I did not know that shipping was a thing until it was presented as a topic for this podcast.
Opening your eyes.
So I'm learning new things, which is always good, and which is why I joined this podcast. But if you've ever listened to some of my other episodes, I'm kind of a purist when it comes to my media. Like, I absorb whatever media it is in the form that it is given to me, and then do not spend a lot of time Googling or researching or thinking about how it could have been different or talking to other people about theories or like reading really deeply into any small detail that could mean something else, which is what it is. I don't think it's any better or worse than anyone else consumes media. It's just something that I kind of take things at face value often. So I don't have, like, of course I've watched things and read things where I'm like, oh, I wish that couple had ended together, but like that's kind of as far as I get. I'm like, oh, they would have been kind of cute together, like moving on with my life. So this is a new like a new experience for me going into shipping, which is one that I hope to speak to as openly and respectfully as possible. I just don't get it. So if I say something that is like rude, I do sincerely apologize for that.
I mean, I'm not a shipper either. I've just heard of it before.
Yeah, right. I don't think, but like, I've never heard about it.
Like, this is the first time.
For this.
And I like read the articles, and then I did a little bit of Googling Harry Potter shipping on Tumblr this afternoon on my lunch break, and that's like kind of as far as I got. I also am fully aware that I've chosen Harry Potter, which has like one of the probably more prolific shipping opportunities of any media. I think that people go really hard into
Harry Potter. They do go really hard.
Yeah, because a lot of people but are also like Harry Potter.
Oh, Ginny, good God, girl. I can't get you out of my mind. Your freckles drive me wild. You know that?
Yeah,
but it's also huge... because they were like the same age as us when we were getting right into it. So
same age, it was tons easy of opportunity. To relate. You see people growing up and starting to form relationships and having those interactions.
Specifically during the adolescent phase.
And sometimes the relationships formed are not the ones you want.
Right. And I am just speaking from a place of I've read all the books like 7 times each, and that is pretty much as far as I've gotten.
God damn.
So.
You say that like it's a oh, I've only read all the books 7 times. This is whatever.
But that's it. Like, I haven't gone any deeper into that. Like, I've just read them a lot. So Harry Potter, I'm assuming that everybody knows the basic premise. A boy is born in a quote-unquote normal household, or raised in a normal household as an adopted kid, and finds out he has magic. And over the course of 7 books, you are introduced to a whole incredibly diverse and well, wide-ranging, at least, characters and group of characters and people and experiences and magical worlds and beings and all that stuff. I'm sure that there's some discussion to be had on the diversity of the cast. They are mostly white. But throughout these books, one of the things that the author does really well, J.K. Rowling, is, you know, they start out and they're 11 and you grow up with them until they're 18, right? Like that's 17, 18 years old. And she did a really fantastic job, I think, of kind of writing the experience of growing up and falling in love for the first time and experiencing what that might do to friendships and relationships and romantic and platonic combinations.
I'm going to make out with your sister tonight. Gonna French it up. I don't need your approval.
And so there's just so many books and so much depth that can go into that it spawned a really fantastic ground for people to be really invested in the relationships that do or don't happen. I brought Harry Potter because it is one of my favorite series, obviously. As I've said, I've read them quite a few times each. I was a kid that got them at midnight and read through the entire book before I went to sleep.
Damn.
Because
I couldn't
just
physically do that.
Like, that's just what I did.
It takes me like a month to read a book that size.
Well, and that's, and like, I didn't have internet or anything like that. So I had nowhere to look for those things. All I had to do was read, like, all I had was the books to read. I really, like, love the series. And I wanted to talk about it a little bit also because J.K. Rowling spent a really long time avoiding anything about Harry Potter online for a long time. And then one day, I was reading a little bit today, like one day just like Googled something and like found this entire world of shipping that was going on and was like, whoa. And in some cases has actually spoken to some of the relationships that have that formed or didn't form on the in the books. So I think it's really interesting that even the author has some shipping in her own story. Like, she has said before that she didn't think that Ron and Hermione should have ended up in, you know, together at the end because they weren't necessarily the best couple. She was just, that was like her vision at the very beginning. Like, that was something that she kind of liked the idea of in book one, but it didn't really make sense at the end by the time that the characters had developed for so long. But because that was like her fantasy when she was writing it, it happened. And then of course she had to say like, but they'd be doing just fine if they went to like the wizarding equivalent of marriage counseling, which I feel like is marriage counseling.
Just in a world without, where you know that magic exists so that everyone's on the same page about the problems that are actually happening.
Exactly.
I can just imagine Ron saying something stupid and Hermione's just like, you know what? Petrificus Totalis, bitch. And then just walks out of the room.
That would be something to counsel about. They should go. They should talk through that. In the end, Ron and Hermione end up together. Harry and Ginny end up together.
I know what I like, and I like 2 things. Magic and you. And me.
Neville has found somebody that I think is like a side character that we don't know very well. And like, I think there's a lot of like Harry and Hermione should have ended up together. And Neville and Luna would have been a really good couple. And why didn't they end up together? And then at a certain point, J.K. Rowling was just like, oh, yeah, but Dumbledore is gay. Like, duh. Which is just a thing. And so then there was a lot of people that kind of that opened up that idea. And then Dumbledore and Grindelwald were a thing.
And fucking hell.
And so there's just all these shipping. And the most ridiculous one, if we're talking about ridiculous shippings, I saw that Fox and Nagini are shipped together sometimes.
What?
Which, like, if you're talking about taking it too far, I feel like maybe having the animal characters fall in love with each other is like maybe the step too far.
Oh, Fox the Griffin?
Phoenix.
And Voldemort's snake?
Fox is
the shitting fuck.
A phoenix. It's a phoenix.
Sorry, yes, phoenix, I misspoke.
Yeah. I don't know if that's like an actual thing that the fandom believes or it was just like one of the BuzzFeed articles that I was reading. I was reading one BuzzFeed article, just I realized that it's not the source. But when it said that Dean Thomas was a cunning Slytherin, I stopped reading because that is not true at all. And I was like, what? Like, you didn't even source check at all. So anyway, Harry Potter has just like an incredible amount of potential for shipping. And it, you know, like Pat said, was a time when a lot of people who are now doing a lot of the shipping were growing up. And so that's kind of how they saw and formed relationships and ideas. And it was right around the time when the internet was becoming easily accessible to people who are younger and, you know, had the ability to open up these conversations. And so that is why I brought Harry Potter.
Hell yeah, dude. Now that we've heard from our fantastic representatives on this podcast, it is now time to move into the discussion section. My ears, dude.
My eyes. Wait, what?
We don't have eyes. We're an audio podcast. We don't even use that.
First and foremost, I want to start this discussion out by saying, what Hogwarts house would you be in and why?
I hope that I would be in Ravenclaw, if I'm being honest about it, because I liked their logic and stuff.
Have you taken the quiz?
I've taken like 100 of those quizzes.
But have you taken the quiz? The one that's on...
Yeah, Pottermore.
Pottermore?
Oh. So I did the thing where I... Was it Pottermore? Yes. It must have been Pottermore. The whole website where you like create your whole thing. You can do your... Yeah, I did do that.
What were you there?
It was a very long time ago. I don't remember.
You fucking... Whatever. All right. Jeffy, what about you?
See, that's what I'm saying. I read the books and that's...
I was put into Hufflepuff.
You were in Hufflepuff? I'm Hufflepuff too. I like to think of myself as a healthy mix of Gryffindor and Hufflepuff.
I feel like I was reading somewhere that, like, no, I don't remember enough to really finish that sentence.
Okay. Laura's never read anything from reading before. You could have just gone in so many different directions.
Yeah. All right. That wasn't actually a good question. So let's try to think of something else. So, Jeffy, in Steven Universe, I don't know if we talked about this really, but the gems combine a lot. Like,
yeah, they fuse.
You have the base gems, and then they fuse into bigger gems. And you actually find out, like, one of the main characters is a fusion, and that blew my mind.
I don't know if it can necessarily be classified as shipping, but, people predicted that Garnet was a fusion before it was revealed on the show. Yeah. So if you want to look at that in some way, that was sort of like a shipping... But it wasn't like a shipping between two characters. It was saying like, "Oh, this character is herself, herself
is
a ship."
In fact, a ship.
Yeah.
but then you also have like Garnet and other characters combining into like even higher upper level.
Yeah. Maybe I just don't go around the forums too much and see this side of it, but I don't think that people really do too much of like shipping the main gems to each other because their relationships are kind of established. But yeah. There's a character, Peridot, who there's a lot of shipping with, mostly because like something about the shipping in Steven Universe is kind of interesting is that it has this extra motive of like, oh, it would be cool to see these two characters in a relationship because we'd be able to see what their fusion looks like and what gem their fusion would be.
But do they even necessarily need to be in a relationship to fuse? Like, I thought they just had
No, it doesn't. The gems are pretty, I guess, polyamorous would be the best. Like, there definitely are allusions to the gem fusions being...
Like a sexual relationship?
Sexual or romantic in some ways. Yeah. Like, there's this whole story arc, which we talked about on the Steven Universe episode, where Pearl and Garnet fuse to, like, destroy this giant tower, and then... Pearl ends up rebuilding the tower so that her and Garnet can fuse again, and then there's this whole big character conflict between like, oh, that was such an abuse of trust, and like it was lying. In the show they say things like, oh, she just wanted to be strong, but it was about like having this relationship with Garnet. And so it definitely is like a romantic relationship or a sexual relationship in that sense, but they're a little bit more, you know, poly about it, I guess, because like all the gems fuse with each other, and it's not really too big. Sometimes there's like jealousy things, but it's not like, you know, cheating or anything like that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's such an interesting format to be able to talk about such, and we talked about this on the episode too, intense and mature themes in a lot of ways, because we can easily kind of read that as shipping and looking into the, like, the sexual side of things. But if you were watching this when you were even like probably 10 and 11, you may not at all see that, and it might just be like a cool power thing.
I don't want to talk too much about that aspect of it, because we did talk a lot on episode 16 of this podcast. Right. It was actually almost a very good exact episode. Same group plus one more.
But imagine growing up with that kind of idea, and then in a world where we talk about shipping all the time, like, of course it's like the perfect breeding ground.
You know? It really is. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting, like, I think that Peridot, I don't know if either of you gotten far enough to know who Peridot is as a character.
Well, didn't you have us watch that episode?
Peridot is this homeworld gem. At first she came on the show as a bad guy. She's kind of like a fucking nerdy character, and then eventually she ends up crash landing on Earth, and they like imprison her, and then she Stockholm syndromes her way into becoming a crystal gem. She's got a pretty significant character arc in that way, because, you know, at first she starts off as like this cold, unfeeling, calculating being, and then she becomes like this really compassionate character later on. She ends up getting into a sort of pseudo relationship with this character called Lapis, who was this kind of estranged homeworld gem who was trapped in an object for like thousands of years, and then she ended up getting freed, and then she went back to homeworld and they basically rejected her, and it was very different from when she changed, so she really had like nowhere else to be. But she's not really involved in the whole war, so she ended up living back on Earth with them. But instead of them living in the main temple, Peridot and Lapis kind of shared this barn that belonged to Steven's family. So then, like, they just spent all their time together, and then they were in, like, a sort of pseudo-relationship. But they never fucking fused, or haven't fused yet, so I don't know, it's sad. Everyone was waiting for that for a long time, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Ooh, they were shipping them.
Yeah, they were shipping them. And that was another pretty big example of Steven Universe shipping. I don't know if that answered the question that you asked me, but
it wasn't necessarily a question. I just wanted to like open the floor to talk about the gems and their different levels of relationships together. Like, I highly recommend anybody who's interested in Steven Universe to go listen to episode 16. It was my favorite episode that I was a part of so far. I want to actually move on to talking about shipping less in like a romantic way and more in like a platonic, brotherly, like familial way.
I've seen that a lot less, but
in Harry Potter. Of all the things that has fan fiction, I think Harry Potter is one of the bigger sources of it, just because people get so like,
wait, what is the what is the one famous like really bad Harry Potter
the Draco like and Harry enemy. One where they're like up against a fucking tree and it's really fucking weird.
No, it's about this character whose name is like Ebony Black or something like that, which is like the dumbest fucking name, but like half the time they misspell it, so her name is Ennaby.
I've never seen
it's
that
like, this is like a one. Really, really famous, like terrible, like I don't know how serious it's actually meant to be, but if you ever get the chance to go look up like Ebony Black, like go fucking read it. It's so fucking stupid. It's amazing.
Editor's note. The fanfic you are referring to is called My Immortal. Don't ask me how I know.
Yeah, all I know is that Draco Harry fanfic is all over Tumblr. It's
kind of
weird.
I've not heard of that, but that sounds...
I want to talk about, like, the fanfic that doesn't necessarily have to be sexual in nature. So, like, obviously, Harry having dead parents makes him feel kind of like he doesn't have a family, but then he finally, when his uncle Sirius gets out of prison and they meet up and he finds out he's not actually a murderer, a lot of people...
Which is always a plus, finding out that your uncle's not a murderer.
Yeah, a lot of people actually canonically wanted Sirius to become like a father figure to Harry, and Harry wanted it too.
Yeah.
But in the shadows lurking there, because if he walked into the moonlight, he turned into a werewolf, we had Remus Lupin, who actually like looked out for Harry and wanted him to succeed. Like, he helped him out any chance he got, because Lupin was such a nice character and I loved him so much. And I wanted him. Stop with the naming shit. We understand. She wanted to make it like easy for a kid to make that connection, and now we're adults.
His name is Wolfie Wolf. Yeah. It's whatever.
Whatever. Fucking movie.
Okay.
It's fine.
Well, let's take a look at Aragorn, which is literally just dragon, and then you take the D and make it the next letter of the fucking alphabet. You want to talk about Aragorn real quick?
We could.
No.
That's not one of the topics.
Anyway. I like the idea of shipping in a different way, where like I ship the fact that Ramis could be a father to Harry, yeah, because he was a way better role model than Sirius, let's be real.
True, yeah. True. And they go into that.
Well, but he was just more around because of the circumstances, you know?
That is also true, but like...
Well, and then he isn't because then he's an underground werewolf, yeah, for a while.
But like, let's take the example of Sirius getting all like revenge-oriented, which ultimately led to his downfall, where Ramis was trying to rein him back in and like start pushing towards actually the common goal of getting rid of Voldemort. Ramis did more for Harry than anybody else, which is why I ship Ramis being Harry's father figure in life.
His name is pronounced Remus, right?
I mean, I pronounce it Remus.
I say Ramis, but I don't think it really matters.
I don't think it really
matters. Well, it's Romulus and Remus is the reference there.
Well, yes, but how the fuck do you know how they were pronounced? That shit was in, like, ancient...
Basil Basil.
Well, you know, that's fair. I guess I don't. I've just always heard it Remus.
Yeah. Like, when I was reading Harry Potter, I thought Hermione's name was Hermione. Like,
well, apparently Voldemort is actually supposed to be Voldemort, right? Like, probably. Without a T. Yeah, according to J.K. Rowling, she was just like, yeah, that just, well, we just rolled with that once the first movie came out.
Well, yeah, all the kids thought it was Voldemort. Like, we don't know these French shit word Latin fucking endings. So I think Harry Potter gives us a lot of instances where we can see, like, different relationships that were probably better off being canon, but... Obviously, she didn't make it canon because then there would be less conflict, and you need that conflict to drive the story. I wanted to know if you had any instances in Harry Potter where you might have shipped it in not necessarily a romantic way, but just like in a you wish they had a closer bond type of situation.
I think all of Harry's father figures, right? Like, it starts with Dumbledore, really.
Dumbledore's like that creepy uncle figure, though.
I mean, in a way, but you can always tell that he wanted to be closer, and then just as they were starting to really form, like, a bond where he could teach him how to...
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, he fucking dies, which is devastating.
Severus. Please. Avada Kedavra.
And then Sirius gets murdered in front of him, and then Lupin gets murdered in front of him, and then...
Does that happen, like, in front of him, though?
Mm-hmm. I mean, not directly in front of him, but actually it might...
I don't know. No, in the movie, it's definitely not, like, but that's not the book, so...
No, I mean, it just happens in the Battle of Hogwarts, but it's something that he sees.
And, I mean, also his father kind of gets murdered directly in front of him, too.
No, he was not in the room for that. He was only in the room for his mom.
Yeah, that's true, but that's closer than somewhere in the Battle of Hogwarts.
That's true.
Yeah. For all of these, you know, I think it's constantly for... And I don't know her motivation, but Harry is constantly looking for a father figure, and he's constantly being given one and then having it taken away and then given one and then having it taken away. And like the way that the books kind of weave through, Dumbledore takes a step back from the father figure because he's afraid that Harry's going to be able to read his mind or
whatever, because he's recognized that trope already and doesn't want to die.
That did not work out so well for him.
He was kind of the first one, so never mind. But
when he kind of stepped back, Sirius was a little bit more there, and it was during the Triwizard Tournament, and they were talking more, and they were writing letters and everything. And then once that was all over, then, you know, Dumbledore dies shortly after that. Or no, Sirius dies shortly after that. And so that gets taken away because he was forming that deeper bond. And he gets a little bit closer to Dumbledore, and then that gets taken away, and he starts getting a little bit closer to Lupin. And then they have actually a pretty intense relationship where there's a little while there where they kind of fall apart because Lupin is basically, he's afraid of like passing on his bad genes of werewolfism and selfishness or whatever it is to his son, and like so he starts acting like a bad dad, and then Harry almost has to father him, and so they have that weird relationship where it's not really it's like a father-son relationship, but it's not necessarily always the older one is being the father.
Yeah, they like take turns with it.
Yeah, and so if you're talking about if we're talking about shipping a character for two people to have a relationship in some way, shape, or form, I think you're right that Harry and Lupin probably have one of the most interesting relationships, because Lupin really teaches him a lot about, you know, doing the right thing versus doing the best thing, and like when you need to break the rules, and like how you want to do that, and how you can live life and, you know, have fun, and then how not to live life and worry about the things that you can't control, and, you know, be a good person even though things are going wrong. And I'm not giving specific examples now, so I feel like I'm just kind of rambling, but they do have a really, maybe the most varied relationship of any of the adult father figure like relationships of any of them, because, you know, Sirius isn't really around enough, and Dumbledore always has to have his distance because he's the headmaster. He can never really be that close. And so Lupin starts off as the teacher and then isn't anymore. And so he can have that flexibility to be a little bit more involved in the personal side of things, as well as having, you know, known Harry's father and everything.
I've got a question, Pat, about in terms of shipping, does it also count if, like, you ship characters to, like, not be together?
Oh, that's a no TP.
Does that not count? Is it a different thing, or is it a...
Yeah, so, like, you have the OTP, which is the one true pairing, and then you have the no TP, which is, like, never fucking get together ever.
OTP. Yeah. I didn't know what that
meant. Because I feel like in Steven Universe, I've got more examples of that.
That you don't want them to get together? That's fucking hilarious.
Well, because, like, there's, like, relationships that started between, like... Well, it's more just, like, things that the fans suggest that I'm just like, no, I actually think that kind of lessens the overarching, like, villains of Steven Universe are the Diamond Authority. There's four diamonds, right? And part of the plot of the show is that there's... a spoiler alert, but it's been told to us that Rose Quartz, Steven's mother, killed one of the diamonds. Well, shattered her, but that it's killed. And there's this character, Jasper, who is, like, one of our big antagonists for a while, and she's, like, the one who revealed to us that this happened, and she was like, oh, you destroyed my diamond, like, pink diamond, right? People took that line to interpret that Jasper and pink diamond had some sort of romantic relationship, when it's just, like, that's just not how the characters in the show function. Like, all of the homeworld gems have, like, my diamond. They're all, like, sort of under one of the diamonds, right? So it's like the fact that they're taking this line that is just like, oh, my diamond, right? It's just like, well, they all say that, so that's like really not evidence, you know? I think it actually kind of lessens the whole relationship, because I don't know, it just kind of brings like less depth to these characters, because before it was just like going into how loyal a soldier Jasper is, and the fact that she actually cares about her commanding officers and stuff like that. Like, they're basically shedding light on the fact that the gems are sort of taught to like worship their diamonds basically as like gods, and then people are saying like, oh no, she's so attached to her because it's a romantic relationship, which I feel is like sort of diminishing the message that's supposed to be made about how unhealthy the gem culture is as a whole, you know what I mean?
And I think it also brings a little bit more to like what I don't understand as much about the shipping culture, which is like, I get having an imagination around something that you really love and like wanting to be able to live it more deeply and experience it and like feel it the way that you want to feel it. The thing that I struggle with and the thing that I don't understand about is like reading into things that happen and creating your own fiction, even though it's completely different. And like, that's just because that's just not a part of the way that my brain works, right?
Yeah.
And like, if that's the way that your brain works, more power to you. For me, I think that the mark of a good piece of work is having a really good writer who can understand the way that, you know, traditional psychology and human behavior works, where of course they're going to understand shipping and they're going to resolve it in some way, shape, or form that, you know, has meaning to them, and they brought it that way for a reason. If you have a good author, that reason is usually right, based in something valuable. And so to me, it doesn't make sense to then go off of it and say like, fuck whatever that person did, like, this is how I want it to be. And like, that's what I don't understand about the culture as much.
That's kind of my part about it too. It's just like, I mean, yeah, ultimately at the end of the day, it doesn't really affect me if people are like doing these fan fictions whatever, right?
Right.
But it does, when people like ship certain things, it does to me kind of represent either a misunderstanding of the characters or a defiance to like what is actually canonically like, you know, given to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So at a certain point, it's just like, oh, do you actually like the media you're watching, or are you just using it as a jumping off point to kind of come up with your own story? You know what I mean?
Which makes me feel like a weird old square, because then I'm like, but it's not canon. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, but it's not canon. Like, it's specifically not canon. And I think the ones that are more canon are, like, I get that more. But when you're saying, like, oh, Harry Potter and Draco Malfoy are lovers, like, they're not, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, I think there are a few categories, right? Because there are people who are like, oh, these characters would really be really good together. And, like, it's sad that they never end up together, but that's who I was voting for. Like, in The Last Airbender, there was a lot of people who wanted, like, Zuko and Katara to be together. And there was...
They were so perfect!
They would have been
for example, Patrick. Yeah. And there were hints at that sort of thing, right? And it's not totally outside of their characters.
Water and fire together, they would... calm each other.
And it's not totally outside of their characters for that to make sense. Whereas, right. It's not necessarily like a defining characteristic of Draco Malfoy and Harry Potter that they're both heterosexual. But they are both heterosexual.
But they hate each other.
Canonically. And they hate each other.
I really need to jump in here with the Last Airbender talk. Can we talk about how fucked up it is that if Sokka and Suki ever like had sex outside at night, he'd be doing it in front of his ex-girlfriend?
Oh, that's true.
Like, she'd just be watching there, like, as
just
the moon,
don't do
like,
it outside.
Crying.
Like,
fucking crying, dude. Like... Oh, so sad.
This is my sad one. This is my happy one.
Princess Yue, you were the realest homie of them all, sacrificing yourself.
Yeah. That's a great fucking show.
I know. I'm going to rewatch that shit.
I'm sorry to have opened that wormhole, but it was just like, I don't know, the first example I thought of, like, you know, like, there's a difference between being like, oh, I would have preferred it if these characters got together, and, like, taking two
right.
characters who are totally, like, either antithetical or have literally never interacted in the media,
right.
like Jamie and Kevin, and being like, oh, they'd be perfect together, you know? It's
like,
just,
if you
like,
just
so...
ship Sparky Sparky Boom Man with, like, Cabbage Guy?
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, it's just, like, at that point, like, are you really showing your appreciation to the media, or are you like cherry picking specific aspects of it and then
trying to
like make up your own story from it,
yeah.
which is
yeah.
not necessarily
is
bad, but it's a different
right.
thing.
It's a different
you know?
Thing than enjoying the media itself.
It says a
yeah.
lot about the person doing the shipping. Like,
yeah.
In my mind, a lot of people see two people who are very common and like have a lot that would work together very well, and they think, oh, they should get together, but like
not every
a romantic relationship
has to extend to romance either.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But that's like everybody always wants to live a vicarious relationship or vicarious romantic relationship in the media they watch, because I guess they're like unhappy with their own lives, which is a little sad, but
well, I don't know. Like, I think you yeah. can be in a happy relationship and still have preferences. You
know? Can. But I think the people who go, yeah. like, way overboard with it are the ones who are, like, kind of alone and they want to
that's fair.
Project
yeah, I mean,
their feelings onto it.
I think that there are other underlying problems with the people who go, like, super way overboard
true.
With it, too. It's just, like, the activity itself does not necessarily insult me, but it does say something about the person
about
that
the
I
person.
Feel like means we probably yeah. wouldn't be best of friends.
Exactly. So let's move on to the rating section now that we've had such a great discussion. I'm incredibly excited to hear what you guys would like to rate this episode on a scale of 1 to 5 fanfics of Draco and Harry together. 1 to 5 dreary fanfics.
Is that the actual, is there okay. like
hold
a
on, there's
for?
Definitely... There's definitely a name for
I'm
that.
Pretty sure it's dreary.
Also, while she's looking up, Pat, I do have a question for you. Are we going to be rating the articles that we read or the concept of shipping?
I think the concept of shipping makes
okay.
most sense.
Dreary.
Yeah, it is dreary.
Dreary.
Boom.
Oh, see, this
it
is where
sounds
I feel
like sad.
It's weird.
Like dreary.
Yeah, it is weird, but that's why I'm doing it.
So, okay, we're so. Going to stick this in wherever it fits.
That's what she said.
I said that knowing what was coming out of my mouth, and I could not stop it. This is where I feel like, okay, so here are the slash pairings. I just Googled the Harry and Draco ship name because
yeah.
I wanted to guarantee that it was dreary. Mm-hmm. And the slash pairings are the characters involved, the primary name and the portmanteau are the names, right?
Yeah.
And Albus Dumbledore and Harry are Harbus, and that's
oh
weird
God.
To me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you're giving them a name, it connotes a sexual relationship.
Yes,
and
it typically
like
does.
The,
like Brangelina.
Like, yeah, and like that... The idea of Albus Dumbledore having a sexual relationship with Harry is predatory and creeps me out.
It
and
is.
I don't like that.
Yep.
That doesn't
so I am
stop
against
people from
that
okay.
kind of
thinking
shipping.
It, though.
Yes. We've established this, and we're still rating this on 1 to 5 drearies. So
good.
Let's start with let's start with our good buddy Jeff.
All right. The concept of shipping. God, I don't know, man. I'd say, like, overall, I'm not really a fan of it, honestly. Like, I mean, I guess it depends how you define it. Like, if we're going, like, shipping in general and, like, thinking that people should be together in romantic relationships, that's fine. But, like, shipping, as it's more commonly known, is about the people who kind of go, like, crazy about it on Tumblr. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to try to meet somewhere in the middle there and give shipping a... 3 seems too high. I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 5. Dreary fanfics. 3 out of 5 dreary fanfics, because I think in its lower levels it's pretty harmless and natural. But in its higher levels, I
get weirded the fuck out.
Yeah, it gets really weird, and like I genuinely think that it sort of represents a lack of understanding of the characters to a certain extent, which doesn't, you know, I'm always one, like, I don't think that any part of a fandom should make you stop wanting to enjoy the particular media. I know a few of them articles mentioned, like, people just, like, dropping the media altogether because of its fandom. I think that's kind of absurd. You could just not go on the forums. So, I don't think it's, like, overall too damaging, and people are gonna be crazy about something, but, like, I think that there are extents, like, for example, Harry and Albus Dumbledore, which, like, that just goes way too far. And there are some examples of that in Steven Universe as well, which I didn't really talk about, which I'm not going to now because we're in the ratings.
We're in the ratings, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 drarys.
I can accept that. Yeah. I would probably agree with you. So, yeah, thanks. Let's move it on to good buddy Laura.
I am also struggling with how to rate this topic, so I'm going to break it down a little bit. And then I will give my final rating. I think that the concept of shipping is a little bit foreign to me, and so I have a hard time understanding it. And because I don't understand it, it's not something that I necessarily enjoy. For some of the reasons we discussed also, where, like, people sometimes take things too far in a way that I'm not comfortable with, which is fine because I don't read the blogs, and so that doesn't affect me at all. Like, I'm 100% behind, like, wanting characters to get together, and I'm sad when they break up, and all of that stuff that is, like, very, very mainstream. Like, I'm a human being and I have feelings, so obviously I'm with that. Like, I get it.
That part's not foreign to you.
I'm not a robot, actually.
This is not Laura's coming out as a robot.
It's not, unfortunately. That'd be nice, though. If I was a robot, I would not have diabetes, so.
Can you just imagine someone making the robot diabetic? Like, you're just an asshole.
Oh, that'd be so mean. So, like, the mainstream shipping I get, I can be behind. The hardcore shipping is too much for me because I'm a pretty even-keeled person, I think, and I don't like to go too far.
Fucking normie.
I'm a fucking normie. It is what it is. I do, though, very much enjoy having been introduced to the concept. I think it was really interesting, and I think that it was something that I really enjoyed talking about. And so that makes me want to increase my rating of it. So the long and the short of that whole thing is that I also think I will give it a 3.
Wow.
I'm conflicted about the actual concept because people take things too far, but it was interesting to read about. I enjoyed talking about it, and I do love me some Harry Potter, so.
Okay.
Well, I am actually shocked. I thought that was going to be a lot lower of a rating. So, thank you both for that incredible insight. Now I have to award a Gold Star Student Award.
I'm so ready. I've got my happy fucking squawker and my sad squawker, depending on whether
you're prepared for any.
This is going to be a little bit of a different Gold Star Award. I'm not going to pick something relevant to the topic at all. I'm just going to pick something like it's Valentine's Day, so I'm going to give out a golden Valentine. Not like just like one of those folded up things we used to give out at school. That was just like, hey, you're awesome.
It's like, hey, I'm acknowledging your existence, but not that, like, kid in the room.
I'm totally giving you this because my mom made me do it. What's up? Except I actually want to give this to you. So just imagine it says something like nice and heartfelt in it, like, I don't know. Like, I think your personality is out of this world. Boom. That's what it says inside of it, okay? But it's also made of gold. It's not like gold leaf. It's like solid fucking gold. It's got a hinge that you can open up. Alright.
This is gonna be hard.
Now that I've explained that, I'm actually going to give this golden Valentine to the one, the only, Laura Kramer.
Yay! No, I'm gonna counteract your sad thing with my yay.
Alright, you deserve it.
Yay! Yeah.
I love how that laugh was your poop noodle laugh as well. There it is!
That's a different story. You can't just say I've got a poop noodle laugh, like, and not explain it!
I mean,
but we're not going to explain it!
We're We're not gonna explain it. It's just like you laugh and kind of cry at the same time. It's funny. So the reason why I'm giving this award to our very own Laura Kramer is that coming into this episode without a prior knowledge of shipping in general.
Oh, that's not fair.
You did a hell of a job. What do you mean that's not fair?
How am I supposed to just erase my knowledge?
You didn't know shit, so here's a gold star.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that for doing that,
she had
quite a lot of insight into it, okay? Like, you knew you could extrapolate from the articles. You could, like, use your own feelings to, like, figure out why shipping is a thing, and you had some really strong arguments as to why you thought it was a good thing and why you thought it was a bad thing. And while most of your examples were why it's bad, I am happy that you were able to see both sides on such a short notice. You killed it. Do your acceptance speech.
Oh, thank you very much. It feels like it's been a while, partly because we've been on a long break, but yeah. It feels really good to get right back in the game. Feels good to get the 50th episode Gold Star student. Yeah, man, I miss doing these.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's nice to be back.
The only thing that could have made this better is if Austin was in this episode.
Yeah, I see. I purposefully did not schedule Austin for this episode because I thought that it would be biased and that he would definitely win the gold star no matter who else was on because Pat is in love with Austin and aren't
Austin's
we all?
Austin's my favorite, dude.
Because he's a darling.
His six-pack is so, like, off-kilter that it's great.
I ship it. I ship Pat and Austin.
I ship that. Anyway, that about wraps it up. Thank you all, you gorgeous people out there, for listening to our very own 50th episode that is a Valentine's Day extravaganza. I hope you had a lovely night. I hope you treated yourself right or treated your significant other right, did some fun stuff. Maybe you treated your dog right, any pet, really. Okay, not in a sexual way, like you bought it something nice, okay? Jesus Christ.
That. I don't ship that.
I mean your dogs, like your homies.
Oh, okay.
Saved it.
No bestiality in this show.
I am your host, Patrick Rem. You can find me at Patty Ice Official on Instagram. I don't really use Twitter.
I like it.
Yeah. So I've been joined by Jeffrey Levitt, one of the co-creators of this podcast and the lovely human being with a ridiculously long beard, and our very own Laura Kramer, who does not have a beard and is apparently very short. The next episode will be hosted by Jeff. Would you want to jump in and tell me what it's about?
Yeah, we are actually going to be talking about practical effects. And I'm going to pull up the YouTube videos that I'm having them watch for it. They're like clips from documentaries about Godzilla films.
Gojira!
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's one that I've wanted to do for a while. Like, I was actually, Godzilla was my first episode, and I was in between doing it on special effects and what we actually ended up doing it on, which was something. I don't know.
The bastardization of the
American
version.
Bastardization of foreign media by Americans. So I'm having them watch three videos. They're all about 10 minutes long, so it's not too much. One of them is called Bringing Godzilla Down to Size, Toho Studios Documentary. So that's the name of the YouTube video. This one is called Making of the Godzilla Suit, also on YouTube. And the third one is called The Art of Suit Acting. There's more to that. Godzilla. That's not a whole lot. All
right. Well, sure to listen up, watch up on that before that episode airs on the 23rd of February. Thank you very much, Jeffy. In the meantime, feel free to give us a nice little follow on Facebook or Twitter at Geeking Program.
A little.
If you like our podcast, if you want to help us grow a little bit, sharing a post, telling your friends, tweeting out and tagging us, it would be fantastic. You will get entered into a raffle where you, lucky viewer, yes you, can pick the topic that we talk about for one of the episodes in the next cycle. Also, we would love to get some reviews and we could read them on the air if they're funny, if you want to shout anybody out. We'll do it right on the episode. So even if you're just listening, we love you. Thank you for supporting us. And we'll see you next week.
This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by Pat Brem, joined by Jeff Levitt and Laura Kramer. This episode is sponsored by Jollin, because I totally ship Jeff and Colin. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt,
with this episode edited by Austin Lievers, Laura Kramer, and me, Taimul Chaudhary.
And original music by Colin Ketchin. Next week, we'll be talking about Godzilla and special effects, so be sure to read up on that. And thank you for listening to this podcast. Ciao!
Wait, can we do a confession corner?
Oh, shit, I forgot about Confession Corner.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Let's go.
Captain, permission to confess some corners.
Permission granted, sir.
So about an hour and a half ago, right, I was like, oh, shit, I need to go buy one of these things for the gag of the 50th episode. So
you could have just downloaded a song, like a sound.
Or ham horn.
Ham horn doesn't sound as good. They changed it. I'm pissed.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
It's a hard life. So I went out. At first I was like, okay, I'm gonna try Rite Aid because that's like closer, right? And so I went to Rite Aid and they had like horns, but they didn't have the like ones that had like the blowout thing. For the listeners, in case you can't hear that part of it, it's like, you know, one of those paper things that
it unravels. Yeah, so it's like you can poke shit with it from afar.
Right.
Makes it look like a gecko tongue.
And so they had horns there, but they didn't have ones like that. So I was like, nah, fuck this shit. I'm going all out. I want it to be legit, right? So I was like, okay, I'm already on the way. I'll just head over to Mohawk Commons, which has both a Target and a Party City, right?
You're giving away too much information about where we live. Or I guess where
you
live.
Whatever. My initial thought being like, okay, we'll go to Party City, right? But then I was out there. I was like, well, they'll probably have them at Target. And I'm a little bit more comfortable going to Target because I go there a lot more often.
What? Why are you less comfortable? They're like literally right next door to each other.
Listen, Party City can be a little overwhelming.
It's not uncomfortable. It's just like if I had to pick one or the other, I go to Target more often.
Well, yeah,
and I'm more familiar where things are in Target. So I was more comfortable in that store. Not like, oh, I'm like skeeved out by Party City. I just know my way around Target a little bit better.
Alrighty.
And they had them, right? And I bought them and it was all good. And then I was about to leave and I was just like, maybe I should try one of these out to make sure that it's not like garbage. And so I got this handsome fellow.
For this audio only podcast.
Yeah, it's got a lot of streamers and shit on it. And so I was like, all right, let's try it out. And then...
Oh, they don't make noise.
It doesn't make any fucking noise.
Maybe it didn't
so
blow
I was
hard
like,
enough.
God damn it. I was just like, I could go back to Target and get like...
No, hold on. Blow it as hard as you can. As fucking hard as you can. Okay, I believe you.
So I was like, I'm not gonna fucking go back to Target with my tail between my legs and go to like the same only cashier that's open and get a different party item. So I was like, all right, I'll just drive like 5 feet and go to Party City, right? I go to Party City.
Drive! You can walk!
It's cold, man! It's easier!
Oh my god!
Keep in mind, Pat, I was already in my car when I made this revelation. All right.
Why don't you try it out before you bought it?
But what?
I don't think that's how that works.
You can't fucking... They're in a, like, sealed bag that's stapled, and you definitely can't just try them out because you put them in your mouth.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought they were just, like, chilling out there.
Ew, that...
And if you could just try them out, I wouldn't want to ever use it.
Yeah.
That really grosses me out.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's a valid option.
So I go to Party City, right? I'm looking around, and I find ones like that, right? And I was like, okay, but maybe these are just, like, different items, and I have this memory, like, wrong from my childhood. And then I saw ones that looked like this, right? They're a little bit smaller and they've got like a squeaky thing, right? And I was like, oh, those will probably work. So I bought those and they even said like squawker on them too. So I was just like, what else could that possibly be referring to other than that ridiculous ass noise, right?
Yeah,
so I bought them and I was just like, okay, I gotta test this out. And so I pulled the first one out of the bag, which is this blue one, right? And I blew on it and it was just...
It's very short.
And it was just like, that is the most sad, pathetic thing I have ever heard. is as far as it goes, right? And I'm just like, well, goddamn it. Like, I guess that's what I'm going to have to stick with, because I'm not going to a third story. And then I found my boy Green over here, who makes a lovely sound. I was happy. And then when I got home, just because I was curious, I tried out all the other ones in the bag, and this is the only one that works.
Wow, that's really lame.
The rest of them either don't make any sound at all, or make just like pathetic little sounds. And that is my confession corner. I spent a lot more time and $5 more than I would have liked to on finding this stupid gag.
Jeff, it seems like in the end you found the one for you.
That's true.
Oh, I did.
Ooh.
I was trying to make that sound sexy, but it really didn't control around as to what sound comes out of this thing.